We have talked about our energy levels, redeeming greater energy, amplifying our greater energy, and then gaining greater energy. And that's kind of where we're at right now. Now, we did talk about greater energy. And now we're talking about spiritual nourishment. You know, Jesus knew that spiritually, we all had to be nourished. And it's more important than physical nourishment. Always remember, spiritual nourishment is always greater and more important than physical nourishment. To have a lifelong zeal, you must make it your habit to remain spiritually nourished. We've talked about in the past, we have our highs and our lows. Needless to say, this afternoon when I talked to Martha, she's on a low right now because Ed's not feeling good and in the hospital and all that type of stuff. But I told her, I said, well, are you teaching Bible class tomorrow? She said, no. I said, yes, you are. And because you got to stay on your high. And you start you know, giving up things that's going to give you spiritual nourishment, you're going to really go down that valley. So I just use her for an example. So that's the reason why she's teaching tomorrow. So ladies, she may not be her normal self, but I think she will. So, but I just use her for an example on how we need to do that. Jesus promised, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be satisfied. Matthew 5 and 6. You must regularly feast on the words of life taught by the Savior. Does everybody regularly feast on the words of the Savior? Everybody do that? Oh, come on. No hands, yeah. Yeah, I hope everybody does. Jesus had a weekly custom of going to the synagogue and participating in worship to God over in Luke 4 and 16. So what habits do you have to stay spiritually nourished? We touched on this some last week. What habits do you have to stay spiritually nourished? Daily Bible reading, yes. Anything else? Prayer. Anything else? Coming to worship, yeah. Be here. And that has other fulfilling things as edification of others. You edify others and they edify you. Encourage each other. Anything else?
Listening to sermons while I walk or exercise.
Okay, that's a good deal. What? Talking to people. Got another one? Preparing for invitations and sermons, that really makes you dig, don't it? It sure does. You know, those that do that, it makes you dig a lot harder and you get a lot more meaning a lot of times on what you're actually studying. How about something else? Huh? There we go. That's the one I've been looking for. I figure it'd be the last one. It's singing. Anybody go around the house humming? How great they are, something like that, you know. So, you know, things like that. You know, there's a lot of ways that we can keep ourselves charged up on a daily routine. And we need to get that into a habit situation. Spiritual exercise. John 4:31 through 34. The apostles were surprised that Jesus didn't want to stop his work to eat. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. We hit on it a little bit last week. It's like an athlete who wants to just practice one more hour. I mean, they're so into their training. It's like these guys that go to these gyms. They've gotten addicted to going in and lifting weights, doing that type of stuff. There's a very small percent of people that get that way type of situation. But there are people out there like that. But they're really into doing things that they like to do. Jesus was so passionate about doing his Father's will that it gave him an internal sense of vibrancy, of accomplishment. All those type of adjectives can get thrown in there. Because he loved what he was doing, he could keep on doing it as long after others would stop and rest. When you identify ways to serve in God's kingdom that tap into your strongest talents and greatest desires, you will actually gain energy through service. And you will build momentum that keeps you going with a joyful heart long after others would quit. Now, on that situation, we all have talents. We all have abilities. And some people have certain talents that, you know, they just really into a certain aspect. And that's great, you know. Some of the men are just really, it's easy for them to do lessons, to work up a lesson, walk up and talk. That's great. Nothing wrong with that. There's others, their prayer life is to a point to where they're able to do prayers very easy. There's others that are great about writing cards. I get some cards at times that are just wonderful. I'm looking at one right in front of me that writes some really wonderful cards. And there's others. I'm just singling her out since she's right here in front of me. But everybody has a talent. Use that talent to its fullest. Okay? There's others that are great on greeting people, walking up to someone and cold turkey and say, "Hey, I'm so-and-so. What's your name? Have you been here before?" Very simple to ask that. And I'm going to tell y'all, that's not just a thing for us guys to do on greeting people who come in. You ladies can do that too. In fact, y'all might be able to do that easier than we can. Okay? Us guys sometimes tend to be a little bit more timid and quiet type situation than some of you ladies. So if any of you ladies want to be out in the foyer and greet people after class in the mornings or before class, hey, go for it. There's nothing that's going to stop you on that. Nobody's going to stop you from greeting people type situation. I'm just trying to encourage, okay? Take-home point. Here's a take-home point. Our personal energy is limited. Why is it limited? We physically get tired. We need rest, okay? When you develop the habits of redeeming, amplifying, and gaining energy, you'll be able to serve God more zealously. So it's just an aspect of getting into certain habits of reading your Bible, praying more often, all those type of things. We just got to get into that type of habit of doing that. Every season of life brings activities that require tremendous amounts of energy, from raising children to caring for parents. Many tasks compete for your energy. How would you describe the demands in your current season of life? Anybody want to venture out one on that one? What? Okay. Every season of life brings activities. Okay. I'm not talking about seasons that we have, but seasons of life that require tremendous amounts of energy. From raising children to caring for aging parents, many tasks compete for your energy. How would you describe the demands in your current season of life? Okay, I had a hand back here. I already know his answer, but go ahead, Mike. Right. Now, you know how I already know about Mike? Mike has still got youngsters. And he has a little age bracket and difference in that. He has youngsters, but he also has a mama that's pretty sick and very trying at times, too. He just had grandma, all her situation going on. So he's getting pulled in both ways. We don't even count work, and then we throw church in, okay? So we all have those type of things. Anybody else want to venture something out? Clint. Clint's having taxing things with work. He's being pulled from work. He gets calls at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. He gets up at 4 in the morning and goes to work. I mean, that's tough. You know, that's tough type of stuff. And sometimes he gets ready to come to church. Bam, he gets a call. Somebody didn't show up. Guess who has to show up? Clint has to fill in. So everybody has different type of taxing type things. Now, Darlene, she has a taxing life going on, trying to keep up with that sister of hers. Okay? So I'll put those two on the spot here. I could have went the other way on that. So anyhow. And, you know, Darlene's in that period of grandkids, you know. Grandkids say, hey, I want to come to grandma's house. Is she going to say no? Nope. Here, come on, you know. But doesn't it feel good after a few days when they go back home? Yeah, all grandparents will say that, okay? So that's just normal. But those things can be taxing and pull from our energy, and therefore pull from our energy for the Lord is what I'm getting at. And we have to be careful in there and try to balance all of that in our lives. And we all go through different stages or seasons in our lives. You know, it's one of those things. Some of you, Patty, you know, Patty's dealing with one still here and one left the nest and in college. And she gets pulled that way. Dolores, one in college, always thinking about what's going on. Am I correct? Okay. What? Oh, mercy me. I wasn't expecting that one. So. Okay. But y'all get what I'm talking about, you know, and we have to balance on that. And it's nothing wrong if you're in a tough part of your season of things to call somebody. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Call somebody that you know that understands, you know. Trina may call you Dolores, okay? You know, talk back and forth because y'all have a bond there with one in college now. And Patty the same way, you know. So there's nothing wrong with that. I know Mike's called me at times on things because, did y'all know I knew Mike from, he was like, this Saul? I've known Mike all his life. We used to get together with his parents with our kids and their kids way back. So it's just one of those type of factors. So he'll call me because I know his mama type thing, situation. Nobody else really probably knows his mama, but Margie and I knows his mama. Who are you pointing to? Oh, Celeste. Okay. So and his mama can be very taxing type situation there because of that stage of life she's in now. So everybody has that, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. You have to face those issues, but don't forget the Lord, okay? Okay, I'm trying to drive home a point here tonight. Don't forget the Lord. We got to stay zealous for Him at all times, okay? Personal maturity and heavenly priorities requires to set aside childish things. What activities do you need to set aside or reduce to give your best to God. Somebody want to venture that one? Somebody would
silly. Actually, sometimes those things you're talking about that deal with our time, we should be using those to be asking for the Lord. Mine right now is work. It seems like it takes up a lot of my time, but am I using that opportunity to speak to others about my faith or about Jesus? When we're going through, I know when we dealt with Andre's mother and some of the challenging things, how we handle that, how we handle that with the family, is something that
can
be an example.
Right.
A way to talk about our faith because of the way we handle it.
Right.
So in the challenging situations or child of love at college and being able to show them and help them in their new faith, and now that gives us more opportunity maybe with their friends or their families or new congregations to build our faith and talk to others.
Right. That's so true. The problem is, and I won't say it's a problem, but sometimes we forget to keep that in perspective when we're challenged with a problem going on, and that we just have to work on that. Right, and that's just one of those things. The times that Margie and I lost the kids, each time we've had people come up and say, "How do you do it? How do you do this? How do you handle it?" I don't have an answer for that. Okay, but we didn't miss church. You know, that's the priority. That is the priority. Now, I look at it a different priority. I really feel like that I have two that's in paradise right now waiting to go on to heaven at final judgment. And I want to do everything I can so I can be there too. You know, we don't have family. We know over Revelation, we don't have familiar relationships. We're not going to be married in heaven, all those things. But whatever image or form we're going to be in, we're going to be recognizable. And hopefully I'll get to see them again. Okay? So that's the greatest thing right there. And I know it is terribly hard for those that are sitting in here that have spouses that have not obeyed the gospel, how hard that is on you. My heart goes out to you, okay? I had parents that were not. So, but I believe also that if I could go into the realm of things, my parents would tell me, keep doing what you're doing. You don't want to come where I'm at. Because we get that little glimpse about the rich man, poor man, and that rich man went to Hades, and he wanted to go back and tell his family, straighten up. He didn't say anything about him wanting to, you know, to go into paradise, but he did not want his family to end up like him. So that's what we have to keep strong on that type of stuff, okay? And forgive me on some of y'all if y'all are going to kick me in the shin, make me, you know, because I bring up things that are touchy in life. But we need to talk about things. We're all in this together as Christians. And we got a bond as a family, family of God situation.
When Jesus was a young boy, I think, no,
I understand. That's what we're talking about, keeping your zeal up. It's easy for a job to get you pulled down because you're usually working around heathens, okay? Don't care anything about God. And they can pull you down and really get you depressed pretty quick. And that happens to a lot of people, okay? So I've been fortunate working for myself. Working for Margie and type thing. But I've been fortunate on that aspect because we really have a really good clientele that comes in. Now, do I deal with heathens? Yeah, I deal with a lot of people who, you know, do not really believe in God. Okay, they Christmas, Easter, you know, the token stuff. But at the same time, they don't come in cussing and carrying on and so forth. And if anybody does, I just tell them, we don't talk like that in my office. If you want to talk like that, go to another office. Very simple. And guess what? I don't hear anything from them again. So I'm very fortunate, but there's a lot of people who do not have, you know, that aspect of where they work at, and they have to deal with, you know, these, you know, I'm going to call them just flat heathens. So, and it makes it a lot tougher. Mike, I saw a hand. That's so true. You said that reminds me, and I know I've told this story before. I'll just remind y'all. But growing up, I stayed at Big Granny's. If you had to go to the bathroom at night, you had to walk out the back door, down the trail, behind the barn to the outhouse. And you take a no moon night, dark, dark, dark. Kerosene lantern. Grandma would light up the kerosene lantern. She wasn't going to go out there with you. Hold that kerosene lantern up high so you can see around. Put your hand in the air because God is holding on to your hand. There's that song we sing about, Hold His Hand. It always reminds me about that because that was her big thing. Nothing's going to hurt you as long as you're holding His hand. And we forget that. You know, we forget that it's not just us, but God is there waiting for us just to reach out and hold His hand. He's ready to hold ours. And it's just one of those factors. There's a lot of reminding stuff here on this lesson type stuff. Anybody else? Okay. It is by His deeds that a lad distinguishes himself if his conduct is pure and right. Proverbs 20 and 11. Okay. When I read that, I'm reminded of something. I was a teenager. I broke away from one summer and still working on the rice farm. I went to Liberty and got a job at a construction company that was going to straighten out the Trinity River. Right out of Liberty, the Trinity River made a big old horseshoe. Came back around. And this company, they got a contract to dig that straight to make the Trinity River run straight so the horseshoe would no longer be a deterrent. I went to work. I always worked on a farm. I got a job as an oiler, okay, on a drag line, working on a drag line. I had to do all the greasing and pouring oil in all these cups for bearings all over this big machine. This was not just any drag line. This was a drag line that a big dump truck could drive up in the bucket of the truck, I mean, the bucket of the drag line, and he could pick that dump truck up and move him someplace if he needed to. Big drag line. The operator of that drag line was an old crusty guy that smoked unfiltered Camel cigarettes. We would dig and dig and dig, loading up these big dirt machines that would haul and was hauling big pile of dirt, getting ready to close off the other section eventually. Each time we had to move that drag line, down on the ground, there would be a pile of cigarette butts this tall because he smoked so much. And I'm talking about one of these 6, 7, 8 packs a day guys, okay? We'd break for lunch. I had 30 minutes of lunch. I had to go around and grease and oil up the thing while it was working. There's times I had to oil. This guy, when I started, every other word was a cuss word. I mean, foulest mouth old fella ever was. I just did yes, sir, no, sir. I was taught yes, sir, no, sir. Yes, sir, no, sir. You know, it wasn't, I don't know how long, but about a month into things, at lunch one day, a couple of the guys that run the big dirt machines had come up and was talking, and they just got cussing like everything. Now, I had already noticed he had stopped cussing around me when it was just him and I. He got on to them, telling them, "Watch your mouth. You're around a young man here. You watch your mouth." All I did was what I always was taught. Yes, sir, no, sir. And I didn't cuss any. But he recognized that aspect. People can do that just by watching you and so forth. I started off, he was really grumpy. By the end, we got through with that digging. I got through that job. He was the nicest old fellow. I mean, he was just a nice guy. A lot of times he'd bring me extra donuts or something like that because I was already there. I had to get there about 45 minutes, an hour early to grease everything before anybody else was on the job site. But he turned out to be totally turned around. I heard about it several years later that he died, lung cancer, of course, on that situation. But anyhow, always remember that. When I read this, it is by his deeds that a lad distinguishes himself if his conduct is pure and right. That is so true, okay? Did I do it on purpose? No, that's just the way I was already kind of brought up. That's the way you acted and so forth. We can all do that. That's something we need to try to instill in our kids. If you do what's pure and right and do your heart, do your work, people notice. They'll notice and take note to it, and they're going to tell others about you. And that's just the way it is. That's a very true thing. Same thing as being adults. Same thing applies on that aspect. So something to keep in mind on that particular verse. So we're going to be talking about finishing with diligence starting next week. So I'm not going to go over the handout that we did. I give it because so many of you didn't get one. Go through and try to answer that the best you can, and then we'll get started on that coming up here next week. We got just a couple minutes. Anybody got anything you want to talk about? Thank you, because I probably wouldn't know the answer. So, ladies, you are still having class in the morning.